This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Spiegel and Holmes.
It is on like radar charm.
With a fleet of super bad status radar charm.
Afternoons on the Score.
Get comfortable being uncomfortable. The bar has been set higher than it's ever been set before. The only way for this team and for you as individual players to reach your potential is to be pushed and to be challenged.
We're finding out more and more each day about Ben Johnson, and there was a pick that was made with Ozzie Trapillo where you go, huh, that's interesting. I wonder what they're going to do with him. We thought that we would reach out to someone who has been watching Ben Johnson call offenses for the last few years. Lions legend, Super Bowl winner, friend of the Score, Lomas Brown, now joining us here on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Lomas, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. No problem, my good man.
You know, Lomas, you always bring a smile. Anytime Lawrence or I talk about you, or anytime your name comes up, you go a long way back with the station from when you were a player and would come on every once in a while. And now, knowing football as you do and having worked in it as long as you have since you were a great, great player, we got questions. We got questions for you. I guess the first one would be this. Do you think the right tackle and the left tackle are the same in terms of importance in the league as they were when you played, or a decade ago, or even 5 years ago? Like, where's the league going, and how does Ben Johnson see the right tackle and the left tackle in terms of importance?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and I think now, I just think now, they're basically about the same. It used to be a big difference, like you say, back in the day. But look, all your tackles, all these guys coming into the league, the one thing we know, that they are athletic. And that's the one thing that's really superior to what we have, is how athletic these guys are. So to me, if you got an athletic tackle, he could play either way. As Penei Sewell, he could play left, or he could play the right side like he plays. So, and Penei could play anything else he wanted to play, but he's a different breed. But what I'm saying, he's a true athlete. And if you have an athlete along that offensive line, it's all about the technique and grinding themselves in the technique and becoming great in your technique. But if you're an athlete, you can move along that offensive line nowadays.
Okay, well, that brings up a really interesting question, Lomas, because Darnell Wright, who plays right tackle for the Bears, is a really good athlete. And when it came to the relative athletic score, his numbers were off the chart. He was doing stuff that receivers were doing. Knowing what you know about the position and knowing what you know about the league, can that guy make that move? And if you're the Bears, would you even consider moving him over to the left side?
Well, he is a veteran. So, yes, you know, and again, like you guys say, he's an athletic guy. Now, again, it's going to be some growing pains because, again, that is a different animal over there. When I say that, I'm talking about the pass rushers that you face over on that side on a consistent basis. See, what Ben Johnson is going to be looking for, yeah, you could put a guy out there that can get it done, you know, one or two games, you know, a game here, a game there. What you guys have to have and what he's looking for is a guy that can give you 17 and soon to be 18 games, you know, consistency. And that's what you have to be able to get out of your lineman, any lineman along that offensive line. So, yeah, it's going to be some growing pains, But as you guys say, he is an athlete, and it's all about, again, him getting grounded in his fundamentals, his footwork, things like that.
When you talk about Penei Sewell that way as an athlete, I don't know about you, Lawrence, I thought of Mookie Betts, who can, like, bowl 300 games and, you know, play any position on the baseball field. Penei could probably do anything. Why have they left him at right tackle? Why? I mean, Taylor Decker's no slouch. It's a former first-round pick. It's, you know, he's obviously good, but Panay's better, and everybody knows it. So why has it stayed the way it is, I wonder?
Man, hey, look, you stockpile good linemen. When you got good linemen, you stockpile them. I mean, you don't get rid of Taylor Decker, to me, to move a Penei Sewell over to the left side. Taylor Decker, we know, is a little older than the Penei Sewell, so, okay, we let that play its course out. You know, whatever that looks like in a few years, whether he wants to lead the game or money makes him lead the game, or whatever reason it is, but you don't get rid of good linemen. You stockpile linemen when you have good linemen, and so I agree with them leaving Penei over there. We know eventually he will go over to the left side if they need to. You know, they may draft the guy that they may be able to fit over there and leave Penei over on the right side. So, to me, stockpile him. Get as many as you can.
Lomas Brown is a Lions legend. He's also on the Lions Radio Network as an analyst and hosts Sports Wrap on WJR Radio. You know Ben way better than we do. What are the things that you think we should be looking at to learn more about him? And what do you think is going to be his biggest challenge going from being coordinator to the big whistle and head coach?
Yeah, well, it sounded like a baby Dan Campbell listening to some of those quotes that he said early in the show. I mean, I'm like, wow, is that Dan Campbell saying that? Because it's a lot of the things that we've been used to hearing with Dan Campbell. I think the one thing, man, wait till y'all going out to training camp. Wait till you see training camp. It's going to be it's going to be totally different. That's the first thing that you guys are going to notice, how he is, how intense training camp is, the enthusiasm around it. Watch the assistant coaches. Watch how they are. That's so you're going to automatically notice that. And then, again, with Ben, I'm telling you, oh, my gosh, man, you're not going to appreciate it till the season starts and you get into it, but the creativity is going to be off the chain. I'm telling you, man, it was just mind-boggling some of the things that he would think about doing. I mean, think about that. Jared with the fake fumble, you know, and stuff. I mean, who does that? Who have your quarterback stumble like he's stumbling around and everything? But when we heard that initially, they said that Ben wanted Jared to actually fumble the ball. But they later talked him out of that. But think about some of the stuff he does. Like I say, with Penei Sewell throwing passes, going in motion, splitting him all the way out like he's a receiver. There's just so much that you guys are going to appreciate and really say wow to when this offense comes alive and Ben Johnson puts his fingerprint all over it.
Well, tell us more about this training camp that you're referring to, because it's a country club these days, Lomas. But, you know, he's got Antoine Randall L. with him, too. We're excited about that. That's his assistant head coach. So
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, that's the first thing you guys are going to notice. Watch the assistant coaches. Watch the enthusiasm. Watch the trash talking. Watch how they get up in there, like, because I'm quite sure y'all going to watch how they interact with the players. I'm telling you, it's going to be something different that if you've been out there, it's going to be something different to see, something different to witness. And then that's when you're going to get that feel of how you think that the 2025 Chicago Bears team is going to be all about. Enthusiasm, fighting for each other, that grit that we call it here in Detroit. Yeah, you'll see it. You'll see it when you're out there. You'll see it.
You know, Lomas, they drafted a kid named Luther Burden, a wide receiver, and he's been likened to Jamison Williams a bit, and that's a guy who needed some difficult coaching. And Luther Burden seems to need some difficult coaching. Did you see Ben and or Antoine do some real work with Jamison Williams?
Absolutely. I mean, again, there's a couple of instances, especially we went Antoine when Jameson did something boneheaded on the field. Oh, my goodness. I remember one episode where I forgot who we were playing this year, but Jameson did something bad on the field, and he was going back and forth with Randall L., and then you just see Randall L. point his finger at him, and you knew it was over with right then. Like, Randall L. had enough of it and everything and stuff. So, yes, you'll see it. I'm telling you, man, when you just kind of feel it from the coaches, and they're going to all buy in. If Ben is anything how Dan was here, their whole coaching staff is going to buy in. Therefore, the coach is going to buy in. Therefore, the players, they're going to buy into it too.
You know what's weird, Lomas? I didn't think that Dan Campbell's style would work. And it's worked so well that he now has two of his coordinators are head coaches, you know, like in the league.
I know.
So what do you think both of those guys, Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson, what do you hope they took from Dan Campbell?
I think the thing I hope they took from Dan Campbell is it's a certain way that you play this game. Don't forget when we weren't that good, and I'm not good with the numbers, but the last game of the season, this probably was 3 years ago.
Against the Packers when you guys were eliminated a couple hours before kickoff, and they were still playing for a playoff spot.
Exactly right. And those guys had nothing to play for. And going into – it was a night game. Remember, we thought we were going to get the earlier game, too. We ended up getting the primetime game, the night game. That's how we were thinking earlier in that week, got the primetime game. So they knew everything was over with. But them guys went out there and refused to let them guys go out there and lay down. And those guys refused to go out there and lay down. And it was a fight. It was a fight all the way to the end. And Kirby Joseph ended that fight with intercepting Aaron Rodgers, and we won that. And I'm telling you, ever since then, this team, this city, man, this organization has been on the upswing. And it's a certain way that you play Detroit Lion football now. It's a certain type of Detroit Lion player that can only play for the Detroit Lions here. And that's what I expect to see from the Jets. That's what I expect to see from the Chicago Bears. You're going to have to fit their mold. You're going to have to be a certain type of player to play for Ben Johnson, to play for Aaron Glenn, just like it is here under Dan Campbell.
Lomas, Ben Johnson said at his introductory press conference, "I kind of like beating Matt LaFleur twice a year." He said that at a presser. The other day, Matt LaFleur said, "They got a good coach now in Chicago, just ask him." So he took a little shot back. And
I like it.
Don't you like it?
Ben has added a little, I don't know if you guys into the seasoning, but that slap your mama, you know, that seasoning. Hey, Ben don't add a little slap your mama right back here in Detroit. Ben don't say a few things that don't add a little spice back here in the Motor City. So we can't wait to face Ben, too. So I'm telling you, the NFC North, it came back last year. It's going to come back with a boom this year. I'm telling you, man. And you know what the thing that I'm nervous about for both our teams, for us and them, I'm just hoping. And he may not be the same, but I just hope Aaron Rodgers doesn't go to Minnesota.
Oh, he would just drag them down.
Go there because if he got anything in the gas tank,
he doesn't.
He takes them to a whole nother level.
Lomas, I've been trying to warn my partner.
No,
that I don't think the Aaron Rodgers to Vikings thing is over with.
No, it's not. Until he signs. Even if he retires, I'm still nervous. Until he signs with another team, I'm telling you, that's the only thing that scares me right now in this division is Aaron Rodgers going to the Minnesota Vikings.
We found the place where we can bond. We've all been scarred by Aaron Rodgers. Like, let's talk about where he hurt us on the football field.
No, it's true. It is. Speaking of quarterbacks, Lomas, since you got a chance to see Caleb Williams a little bit last year and see some of the things that he can do, Do you think it'll be easy for him to learn some of the stuff that Jared Goff was able to learn under Ben Johnson?
I tell you what, it's going to be a hard thing to do as far as that. Let me take that back. I know he's going to get some hard coaching. I know that. I know I've seen Ben in action, you know, from the outside looking in. Okay, so I'm from the outside looking in, so I can't say I've seen him within the walls. But from the outside looking in, Caleb's going to get some hard coaching. You know what I'm saying? And, again, it's going to be how he handles it. He's going to have to handle it. There's going to be some ups and downs throughout the season, as we all know. Even if you're a veteran, you're going to have ups and downs. But he's going to have to handle the hard coaching, and he's going to have to be able to soak it in and know that it's just coaching. He's just being coached. It's just a different way of being coached, and that's what he's just going to have to handle. To me, he has the talent. He has all the talent in the world, you know, and he just has to get confidence in his offensive line. That was one of the biggest things I noticed last year. He wasn't confident in his offensive line because the minute he goes back and drops on his back foot, his feet were moving. His feet were hardly ever set. And anytime you got a quarterback where his feet is always moving back there in the pocket like that, a lot of times he's not confident in his offensive line and his protection in front of him. So I think what you guys add, Jonah Jackson and the other guy, I think that's going to go a long ways towards helping them, because y'all did a nice job in the middle of that offensive line shoring it up. And we know that's where quarterbacks don't like pressure coming from.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, Drew Dahlman in the center and Joe Thuney on the left and Jonah Jackson, and they made that an immediate priority. So they saw what you saw about those feet not staying stable at the back of his drop. What clicked for Jared Goff when he started playing this way? You've been there a long time, man, and Goff was pretty broken when he got there, and it wasn't real good for a while. And there's all sorts of stories, but from your perspective, was there a light bulb, or what started happening?
I think for me, I just think it's Jared's confidence in the guys up front. And that may sound simple, and like I say, you guys have done a great job of doing that. But again, think about Jared. Jared is more of a stationary guy. So you know where Jared is. They know when the defense wants to hunt Jared Goff, they know where he's going to be at. And everything. So Jared relies a lot more on that protection. And I think that's where Jared is in his comfort zone. I think Jared, when he has the time to scan the field, and he knows the offense so well. I mean, he was like a co-coordinator out there for Ben Johnson. So he knew every aspect, especially going into this year. He was making check downs. He knew every aspect of that offense, and it wasn't hardly a play when he wouldn't come up there and adjust that offense in some type of way, shape, or form. You know, he would adjust the offense almost every play. So I know him being confident in the playbook and his ability to change plays and do what he needed to do. But I also think he gained a lot of confidence when he got to L.A., being able to come behind a very good offensive line. And I think it may sound simple, but I'm telling you, you'll see a world of difference in Caleb because of those guys up front.
All right, incredible stuff from Lomas Brown about the Lions and Ben Johnson and the Bears. Here's the main reason we called, though. Lawrence and I went to a great place called Sweet Mandy B's the other day. I had an item, and so did Lawrence. We wonder which one you would have enjoyed. I had a banana caramel cake, which was with some custard.
And I had a giant sea salt caramel brownie.
Which one for you, Lomas?
So I would have went with the caramel cake, only because the brownie, after a while, it gets stuck in the teeth, especially with the sea salt. You had the sea salt on there. You know, it gets a little stuck in the big fella's teeth, you know, with the brownie. So I probably would have went with the caramel cake.
Yeah, you wouldn't have been disappointed, man.
No, you would not have. And you're right.
But to be honest with you, you probably could have put both of them there, and I would have finished off both.
See?
That might have been my honest answer right there.
Lomas, this is why you're our guy, man, because that's the right answer.
It's the truth.
For sure. Sir, this was a pleasure as always. Thank you so much for coming on and giving us some intel. And have a great rest of your summer, and we'll bother you as camp starts up.
Sounds great, fellas. Take care.
Thank you, man.
That is the awesome Lomas Brown.
He's a delightful man.
He's just a beautiful man.
I always has been. I mean, he came on the Score in the 90s as a player, and it was like, who's this guy? Love this guy.
Yeah, I like when guys, like, they're out here making checks for the rest of their lives because they're good at what they do. And in Lomas's case, like, he's just... Think about all the different things you want to talk with Lomas about.
I want to ask him about Slap Your Mama seasoning, which I'm looking at right now, the Cajun Slap Your Mama seasoning. I got a kid who likes spicy stuff. I should probably grab some of this.
Yeah, you should also tell him not to slap his mama.
Oh, he knows.
Yeah.
And his stepmom.
That's who I've met.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to do that.
Oh, no.
He'll find out all about spice, though, if he does that. He's going to find out a lot about spice.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's, I mean, I've been thinking a lot about the belt. You know, you got me thinking. It's Lawrence's suggestion for just about every parenting issue, which seems,
pretty much
a little extreme.
Worked for me.
It's arguable.
It is arguable. But overall.
Overall, you're doing fine.
I would say it's probably.
Yeah, I think it's a net positive.
Yeah, it worked out. You know, never knew what Mama Holmes was coming up out of that purse with. She never knew.
She had the belt in the purse? That's something. She rolled it up.
You never know what was in the purse is what I'm trying to tell you.
Oh, I see. So the purse would be heavy? She carried a brick in there?
There could be all sorts of stuff. A comb, a brush, a 22. It doesn't matter.
My Nana used to have smelling salts in her purse as she got older, just in case, in case she passed out or something. You got to have smelling salts in there, like ammonia smelling salts. It really and so what had happened was that we were in a synagogue. And we were bored in synagogue.
Oh.
And we would just take the smelling salts and pass them down the line, and all our grandkids are like, you smell this. No, you smell this.
Those are like my favorite pregame videos of NFL guys.
When they're using the smelling salts?
Yeah. Whoa. I mean, guys are getting ready to play and they're like,
Now I'm awake.
I'm totally ready. I am ready for all this. But Lomas is just like, he's just, I can only imagine, because this is what we're doing here in the studio, what the boys are doing on the other side of the glass, that as you were listening to Lomas, you were smiling.
Every time. Constantly. I smiled 30 times.
And
smiling is my favorite, to be clear.
And there was a lot of good football stuff in there, too.
I went and looked up the Antoine Randle L. Jameson Williams moment.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh my goodness. It's a great little 7-second loop. He's yelling and Jameson yells back and Antoine yells one more time. And then he sticks the finger up like, you better shut the hell up and get in the back seat right now. And the conversation is over.
See,
it's 100% over.
It's the belt.
You're saying Antoine got the belt?
Well,
he's capable of using the belt.
And I mean, like I've said before, I'm pretty sure that we're related. So,
yeah.
So there it is.
Same belt.
No.
Belt was shared, you think?
Well, the concept of it was definitely shared. That is a truism. When we come back, we're not done with sexy football. Why? Because Big Ant Heron's going to join us next on The Score.
The king of all media, Anthony Heron.
Anthony Heron.
I was saying this to some guys earlier before the show, when I'm glad handing and kissing hands, shaking babies, all that stuff.
Score football analyst.
Jumps off the screen when you watch him on film, and then when you see him in person, it's even more impressive.
Former NFL defensive lineman.
Tripped up at the 20-yard line, Anthony Heron.
And Iowa Hawkeye.
Brady. Couldn't find an open man. He's going to be sacked from behind. At the 24-yard line by Anthony Heron. Real tenacious job by Anthony Heron, number 99.
Big Ant Heron.
It was an easy recruitment because he always wanted to be a Duck.
Anthony Heron with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Big Ant Heron joining us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Check out CircaLasVegas.com. Before we talk football, we have to talk about your choice, your sartorial choice for draft night. Sir, that jacket, Because you didn't wear the jacket when you were in here earlier that day. That jacket was awesome, Big Ann Heron.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you. Yeah, we had a nice new position over at Fox 32. We were on the concourse last year out at Soldier Field as well for the Bears draft party. And, you know, it was a little bit, we were in the shade. And so I did have on, had to dress up for the part last year as well. But once I knew our position was going to be in the sun, I figured I could brighten up the color palette just a little bit on the wardrobe. And things were nice. And we were even, like me and our old mutual friend Luke Kanellis, we were down on the field beforehand warming up, throwing the ball around. I was recognizing how horribly painful my shoulder is when I try to throw anything. But yeah, it was a good time, man. We had fun.
Did was Lou talking about Giannis? Was he talking about wooing Giannis to town already at that point or not just yet?
Well, not this time. It has been a topic we have discussed over the years.
Damn right. It's time. Yeah. It's time, baby. Make it so. Maybe he's got to join you guys on the football coverage. You'll take that for the team if we can get Giannis to the Bulls. And I know you will.
Yeah, I think we could add the Greek freak into things here. I mean, can you ever have enough Greeks on coverage? I mean, why not?
Let's agree.
Get Giannis in the mix.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Hey, Ryan Poles said on another station today that Ozzie Trapillo is going to be given left tackle to start in terms of the offseason activities, and that he doesn't want any shuffling of offensive line positions once camp starts. So they'll figure it out in the offseason. But your thoughts on those two items, that Ozzie Trapillo, the second-round pick, will be given a chance to win the job from the get-go at left tackle, and that they don't want to shuffle once camp starts. What do you think, Ant?
My fully honest and I suppose perhaps brief assessment is I don't believe Ozzie Trapillo is going to beat out Braxton Jones as a starting left tackle, but it makes sense to give him the opportunity to at least get reps there for now, because he hasn't played it in live game action in years at this point. So, you know, I would assume he's worked at both in practice. That's just kind of how things roll in college football. But he began his career at Boston College as a left tackle, shifted over to right tackle, and that's what he's been doing the last few seasons here. And, you know, Braxton Jones has developed as a left tackle, but Ozzie Trapillo was not one of the guys in my draft evaluation in, you know, presuming who could come in and be an immediate upgrade for the Bears as a left tackle. I thought those were the top few guys that came off the board. I could certainly be wrong. And if Braxton Jones doesn't get healthy, then the Bears are going to need someone to be able to play left tackle. But I do prefer the idea of leaving Darnell Wright where he is. I mean, he's been, you know, he's shown what he's capable of. He's capable of being a high-level player as a right tackle. You know everything they've been able to go out and spend money on to secure the interior of the offensive line. So you've got left guard, center, right guard, and right tackle pretty solidified, assuming health, that you've got high level. You've got quality football players at those spots. So to figure out left tackle from there, it's a good thing where, you know, it's a contract year for Braxton Jones. If he gets healthy and you get another season from him, he's at least passable as a left tackle. We've seen that. But, you know, it's plausible to upgrade from there. But then you've at least acquired depth through the draft. Who knows? They could go out and get another free agent as well. But I think to at least give Trapillo, while Braxton Jones isn't healthy, to give Karan Amagaji these opportunities at left tackle for now makes sense.
You watch a ton of Big Ten football. Colston Loveland as the choice when a lot of people thought it would be Tyler Warren. And I don't think you could have made a bad choice between those two guys. And I lean more towards Loveland just because of his ability to run routes. He seems to have dancer's feet, which is nice. You know, when you've got a guy that tall that can move the way that he does, how does this work if you're Ben Johnson? What are the ways that you can make this work, and why did they make that pick?
Well, the skill set between the two of them, Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland, they are dissimilar in their style of play. Tyler Warren's athleticism and movement skills are more similar to Cole Kmet, but he would have been an upgrade as a playmaker from Cole Kmet. You know, the volume of receptions, the volume of opportunities that Tyler Warren got this past season at Penn State with over 100 grabs, in some ways that ended up being viewed as a negative in his evaluation. But frankly, I mean, for a tight end to be able to be featured in Penn State's offense in that manner, that to me is still a big time positive. Cole Kmet is still at this point in his NFL development figuring out how to consistently be a playmaker, whether it's in contested catch scenarios to try and create space in the red zone. When he doesn't create space and he's not a great separator in his route combinations, he hasn't really enhanced his creativity or his craftiness as a route runner, because that can go beyond just your movement skills, how quick and how sudden you are. You can just be crafty in how you set defenders up to make your route look like one thing and then stem them and be able to move in the opposite direction and be able to create some space if you're on the same page with your quarterback. Cole Kmet hasn't developed that well yet in that regard, but he's a quality football player. But from an athletic profile perspective, Tyler Warren is similar as an athlete to Cole Kmet in that regard. He's just shown that he can make contested grabs and he can create space in the route tree in a way that Cole Kmet hasn't yet. But when you talk about Colston Loveland, he's just a different brand of athlete, a different caliber of route runner, different caliber of suddenness, and he can be your slot receiver. He can be your inline blocker as well. I don't have the same concerns that some folks have communicated about Loveland as a blocker.
Neither do
I. As a tight end. I mean, between he and Sam Laporta, who he obviously has been compared most directly to, he's a better blocker at this point in his development than Sam Laporta was. Both guys came out of Big Ten offenses that threw the ball horribly, and both guys were tasked with blocking a lot. Sam Laporta is essentially a finesse tight end, even in the NFL now, and that's kind of what he was for most of his Iowa career as well. But he's a willing blocker. Colston Loveland is a more than willing blocker, and he was tasked with that at Michigan, probably a bit less as the season wore on this year because of the shoulder injury. But, you know, he's not as big and physical yet as compared to his contemporary Tyler Warren or what the Bears have right now from Cole Kmet. But he can block, and I imagine once he steps into the league, his ceiling will only enhance in his ability to do so. But he's a more than willing blocker who did that a bunch. You know, you both have an idea of Michigan's offense. They weren't throwing the ball real well, and he was the only option they had to catch the football at a high level this past season. They ran the rock a lot that led them to Big Ten titles and a national title, and he was on the football when they were doing that the majority of the time.
Can you help me wrap my head around Ruben Hippolyte II in the fourth round? This speedy linebacker from a Dennis Allen perspective. What am I? Might they play more base? But does that mean Kyler Gordon plays one of the other positions they've been talking about? Because if they're not taking Kyler Gordon off the field that much, then there's not a whole spot for a third backer here. But maybe I'm not considering something. What do you make of it?
Well, the creativity that Dennis Allen has talked about, he can potentially utilize Kyler Gordon with it and perhaps find a home for him at one spot that maybe is a little different than what we've seen him mainly operating in the nickel from. You know, that possibility does give him some fluidity with what he does with the lineup. But to me, Ruben Hippolyte is in direct competition with Noah Sewell. And Noah Sewell was a guy I was really high on when he came out of high school. He played in the All-American Bowl. I call that game every year for NBC. Fantastic high school prospect. Got to college and flashed a bunch as a freshman and then just kind of leveled off over the end of his Oregon career. And he's kind of leveled off during his Bears career. He's become a core special teamer, but he's been banged up a good bit. And he hasn't earned, apparently, a lot of opportunities to be within the base defensive package. I guess he's done enough where they were comfortable moving on from Jack Sanborn, but now you do bring competition in Ruben Hippolyte. He's not going to beat out either of your main two starting backers, but will the Bears operate more frequently in base defense? I don't know. It's still the National Football League, and you're still in a division where you anticipate, you know, two times a year seeing high-level quarterback play. And even if we don't know for sure how great J.J. McCarthy is going to become, we know what Kevin O'Connell is as a head coach and a nurturer of QB talent. So you got guys who throw the football at a high level, offenses that throw the football at a high level in this division. So I don't know that, you know, if we just think of base kind of traditionally with the air quotes as three true backers on the field, Ruben Hippolyte does at least add speed and athleticism if he's a part of that. But I still think there's a great possibility. We're going to see if you get, you know, four, you know, starter caliber defensive backs out there. We don't know what's going to happen at safety yet. Could I see Kyler Gordon maybe getting a look there? I think that possibility does exist, but Ruben Hippolyte wasn't the degree. He wasn't the caliber of consistent playmaker in Maryland's defense that I see him just kind of pushing ushering anyone else out of the lineup and getting full-time defensive snaps. I see him as a guy that's likely going to earn core special teamer. He's going to enhance the tenor of their locker room because he's just an awesome individual. He's a great leader for Maryland over the years. But he was just kind of a consistent, not even like a splash playmaker, just kind of consistently productive, but not with splash plays throughout his Maryland career.
What did you see when you watched Shamar Turner's tape?
Aggression. I saw a fury. I see a level of suddenness that his defensive scheme didn't always allow him to show. And so by comparison, where Javon Dexter was a guy, and I actually got to talk to Javon Dexter about his transition because he joined us out there at Soldier Field last Thursday. I was talking to him about that transition because I went through something similar. My Iowa scheme was a two-gap system where we're match-stepping with the offensive line. And then if you get into a scheme at the next level where you're supposed to time up that snap and move, on movement and go, whether it's the ball going or you see a lean and someone rocking on the LOS, you got to be ready to fire up the field. And that's how the Bears have operated in recent years. There won't necessarily be as much of that. There's going to be perhaps a little more hitting of blocks anticipated from the D-line Dennis Allen scheme. But for Dexter, you know, that transition has been one he's kind of methodically made year over year. And he did improve last season. He's a longer athlete, and he's not as sudden and twitchy in his movements as Shamar Turner is. But both guys are, you know, making that transition from going from more of a two-gap sort of scheme to now being more of a one-gap assignment in the NFL. But I do see Shamar Turner as a guy who's twitched up enough where I think that should allow him some opportunities. And when I was talking to you guys last season about the Bears' defense, especially down the stretch, where they're just missing some jerks out there, seems to be a lot of jerk in the style of play. So you add Shamar Turner into that. Grady Jarrett brings his temperament that he plays with this fury to the Bears' defense also. If we assume health for Andrew Billings, if we cross our fingers for health from Jaquan Brisker, now we should see a temperament from this Bears' defense that feels more like what it was when they were at their best in the best times of Matt Eberflus.
Big Ant, you are the man. We appreciate you. Thank you. Teach us your sartorial ways.
I appreciate you both. And I'll make sure I shout out Alex Kuhn as well. I guess I'm shouting out myself because we did talk about Caleb Johnson a lot. Alex was selling me on the idea of him as a second round pick. Ends up going in round three where I thought he would go, but I think he's going to have a fine
career
in Pittsburgh.
You were right, Ant. You were right.
You're not shouting out Alex Kuhn. You're shouting out yourself.
No, I'm not. I realized it as I was saying. Like, actually, no, I'm shouting out me.
There's only room for two Mr. Validations on this show. All right?
Well, you can be Captain Validation.
Yeah, you can. Oh, okay. You can.
That works out
congrats.
Really well.
Congrats. Thanks, Ant.
All right. I salute you, sir.
Lawrence, when we come back, let's do a little more Bears, can we? There's a way to utilize one of the Bears draft picks I hadn't thought about much that a friend of mine brought up last night. And I want to run it by you if there's a way to utilize one of these
I'm
guys.
Trying to think of which one it is.
Uh-huh, it sounds like a tease then.
All right, let's do that next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday bath? Yeah. Oh, The Spiegel and Holmes Show.
Afternoons on The Score.
All right, so thinking about it during the break, are you talking about, since Speaks brought up the idea of maybe using a player differently than their designation,
yeah.
Are you talking about taking Hippolyte and making him ultra-strong safety?
I'm not, but that's an interesting thought. I'm not. No, what I'm talking about is this, and my buddy JP, the bass player in Tributosaurus, hardcore Bears fan, listener of the show, said, what about Luther Burden in kind of a Deebo Samuel sort of role where he plays some running back reps? And that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. Then I just started thinking about how about just wide receivers who get carries? Because Deebo Samuel, of course, led all wide receivers in carries last year with 42. But Jaden Reed of the Packers had 20. Xavier Worthy of the Chiefs had 20 rushing attempts. CeeDee Lamb and Kevontae Turpin, 14 and 16 for the Cowboys. And DJ Moore had 14 carries for the Bears.
It's interesting that the three wide receivers and the tight end actually could tote the rock a little bit.
And isn't that fun for a Ben Johnson multiplicity style of offense?
Yeah, and Burden is kind of known for being dynamic with the ball in his hands.
Yep.
I immediately start thinking with him, though, pop pass. I start thinking of him in motion, snap, boom.
For sure.
Right to him behind the line of scrimmage.
Absolutely. But Jameson Williams, I will say, had 11 carries last year. And didn't he have a huge carry in the playoffs? Was it a double reverse? I remember it was gorgeous, yeah, and creative.
When they were just opening up a can.
Oh, the can that was opened up. Right? Yeah, so I could see Ben getting excited about Burden, not just as a wide receiver, but just as a weapon who runs it a lot. And it's interesting because I don't know if they're going to go out and get a free agent running back, you know? And if they don't, then you're looking at Kyle Monongai getting reps, DeAndre Swift, maybe, who's it, Ian, what's his name, who was hurt last year?
I never want to start thinking about the wide receiver as a replacement for the running back. I think it's a supplement to it.
I'm sure, yes, for sure.
Because isn't Roschon Johnson still on the roster? Remember him?
Remember that guy? Not for long.
It makes you wonder if he is here. But I think the running backs themselves have got that covered. I look at it more as what can you add and what dimension can you add? The other thing is I think DJ Moore is really good at that concept.
He is. And those little pop passes, we saw that kind of stuff for DJ Moore all the time. Too much. It felt like too much. It felt like, well, that's all they're doing with DJ.
Yeah. No, you're right.
So you know, the fact that they can do that stuff with Burden and just use them both, man, I mean, it's going to be fun to see the creativity. But I thought it was a pretty good thought from JP in terms of thinking about Burden, even just here in week one, as a weapon, a ball-carrying weapon. And that's a pretty big number of wide receivers that a double-digit carries over the course of a season.
Sure, you play around with it. You make the formations look a certain way. And
Puka Nacua
and then
had
you're
11.
Like, guess what? Yeah. Our guy's going to beat you to the edge, right? Because we've had one of our fastest guys going in motion. And then it becomes a matter of can everyone seal off blocks and to let that guy turn upfield. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I think that ends up working out.
I think it could be pretty damn fun.
Let's take a break. When we come back.
Oh, boy. It's time, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know it is.
Well, we're going to have to be delicate, I think.
That's my skill set.
That's what it says about you on the back of the baseball card. The Bill Belichick thing is...
Oh, it's a problem.
It seems like it's becoming one. It seems like it's becoming one quickly. We will talk about it, and maybe you'll listen next here on The Score.